How many of you have been walking through a desert for 3 days and finding no water? That's what the sons of Israel went through. They went through wilderness after wilderness, sometimes without water, sometimes without food, suffering temptations. But there was a place where they had consolation, a place where they could forget all about their temptations. That was this place called Elim, in which there was 12 fountains of waters and 70 palm trees. Imagine going through the desert day after day, not finding water. And finally you find water, but it's bitter. It isn't suddenly good, but it's bitter. This is what it's like to struggle spiritually. But then, if we look, there is an oasis awaiting us. But to get to the oasis, we have to travel through the wilderness of Shur. A lot of things in our life are like this. The Heavenly Doctrine tells us what this story is all about. It's all about when we love a truth, we love something we've learned from the Lord, but now it's bitter. How about the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother? It's a wonderful command when we love our parents. But now they're telling us we have to do something before we can go out and enjoy ourselves. Maybe it's cleaning our room, maybe it's washing the dishes, maybe it's something else we'd rather not do. Suddenly, honoring thy father and thy mother doesn't seem so pleasant. In fact, it seems a little bitter, doesn't it? You're meant to do what they say. How do you get over this bitterness? How can those waters be made sweet? How can this state that you don't want to do this be done? Well, the Lord told them how. He said, if you obey all my commandments. So the very simple way to get out of the state of bitterness is simply say, these are my parents. They love me. The Lord asks me to honor them. I'll do that because that's what the Lord wants and that's what my parents want. This suddenly changes your state. And from a bitter state, it becomes sweet, and you do your chore. And after the chore, maybe you're with your parents, it's just, you forget all about it. You don't even remember how it was a struggle. It's a wonderful state. It's like finally getting to that oasis in Elim. There's lots of other examples that we could give, just a few more. How about when we're reading through the Heavenly Doctrine or the letter of the Word, and we love reading, and we come across things that don't make sense or things we'd rather not do and so on. And we're sitting there saying, well, this can't be that way. Remember what the merely natural man said? Well, if it's undelightful, I just won't believe it. I'll just get rid of it. But a spiritual man, a child who loves his parents will say, no, this is something I should believe in because the Lord has said it. If I believe it because the Lord has said it, he loves me. He won't tell me things that I shouldn't believe. And there's a change. Suddenly, what was bitter becomes sweet. We suddenly see something. Instead of it saying, oh, I don't know how this makes sense, it starts shining through. And then later, as we start reading the Word, then it's like an oasis with 70 palm trees, 12 springs of water, all the truths we need for every occasion we could have, and the pleasantness that comes with this truth. But it's that putting ourselves into the Lord's hands. It's saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to read this, and whether it's delightful or not, I'm going to do it. This is what changes what was bitter to what is sweet. Remember how Moses made the waters sweet? What did the Lord show him? Do you remember? The waters were bitter. What did Moses have to do to make the waters sweet? Now, the Heavenly Doctrine tells us the Lord could have just made them sweet anyway. But he wanted Moses to do this because it represented something so very important. The Lord showed him some wood, and he took the wood, and he cast it into the water, and the waters became sweet. That wood means love. That wood means what is good. It means doing the truth and loving the truth because it's from the Lord. That throwing the wood in, without the wood, the water's bitter. Without that good, without that desire to do what the Lord says, then what he says is not sweet. But if we remember this is from the Lord, or this is what our parents want us to do, then that bitterness can become sweet. There's other examples we can think of. We know that divine providence is in every least detail. It's a beautiful truth. The Lord is taking care of everything. And then something tragic happens. Perhaps you lost your job. Perhaps you were going hungry. Like imagine being in the desert and the waters are bitter. Perhaps we lost a loved one. And this truth that the divine providence is in every little detail is not as sweet as it was because the details around us are not what we want. This hurts us. And we say, Lord, how can this be? And yet, if we do what we're meant to do and put it in the Lord's hands and recognize that everything comes forth from the Lord our God for the sake of our welfare, whether it be bitter or sweet, whether it be pleasant or unpleasant, the Lord is leading us to a good end. Then all those tragedies and everything else, we see the Lord is present in there upholding us, upholding those who fall down. That makes it not so hard. And then later, because what happens when this happens, the good and things come together, the angels are present. Do you remember how the reading went? When the angels are present, they pour forth love into us. And that's like being in that oasis. And we feel that calm. And the tragedy almost doesn't seem like a tragedy. It seems like something the Lord has provided for the good of everyone. Or think of a soldier. A soldier who's going out to war. And he does not want to shed blood. We have a beautiful teaching in the Heavenly Doctrine from the Doctrine of Charity about a soldier who goes into war. This is about how he is a form of charity. And it says he's averse to unjust shedding of blood, and he abominates pillage and things like that. And yet, in battle, it's another thing. It's bitter. He has to go out there. He might die. His friends might die. What is he going to do to face this? Well, the Heavenly Doctrine tells us a beautiful statement. It says, before the battle, he raises his mind to the Lord and commits his life into his hands. And after he has done this, he lets his mind down from its elevation into the body and becomes brave. The thought of the Lord, which he is then unconscious of in the body, still remaining in his mind above his bravery. And then it says, and if he dies in the Lord. And if he lives in the Lord. That is how he reaches that oasis. Sometimes a soldier reaches it by going to the other world. But he's given his life for his friends. He's given his life for his country. Or he lives through the war. And he's fought well. He's done his duty for his country. And a state of peace comes. In that state, you might say it's like Elim, with the 70 palm trees and the 12 fountains of water. That is something not so sweet as something so peaceful. Peace after war, when the soldiers have fought well for their country, gives them this sense. And the angels can draw near and give them that wonderful sensation that the Heavenly Doctrines talk about. That consolation, it's called. That comfort. That state that makes it possible, as it was for the sons of Israel, to go yet through another wilderness and another wilderness after that. And so the Lord gives us these states of peace. It's like a Sunday. We work 6 days, and on Sunday we take a day of rest. Or it's like working through our life in the world, and finally we get to heaven. And what's so beautiful about it is those in this state don't reflect so much on what they pass through. They don't reflect, oh, I'm feeling so great. They just have the presence of the angels with them, a state of peace, a state of happiness, a state of heaven. Amen.